I want to start this morning by just giving you a little bit of a story. I don't know if people wonder, you know, like, does the preacher ever get tested on the things that he teaches? And so last week, I taught on having a prevailing peace. Anybody remember peace in perilous times? Peace in perilous times. Well, this past week, after I saw you on last Sunday, I was up very early Monday morning. I received a very gracious, very generous invitation to go join a group of men in the middle of nowhere, Alaska. So I've been in Alaska all week. I got back yesterday morning, and it was a lovely time. We had a great time, met some fantastic men that love Jesus, and it was great. But a couple days ago, I was minding my own business in about waist-deep water. There, you know, loving God in the midst of rugged territory. We had seen wildlife even minutes before, wildlife being a bear, large bear. And so there I was in waist-deep water, about a 50-foot-wide river, stream kind of thing, rushing pretty good, fishing for salmon. And I just happened to look over my shoulder. I didn't hear anything, but I just happened to look over my shoulder like this. There I was about in the middle of the stream, so the shore was about 20, 25 feet away. And there was a friend watching me. And this is kind of what he looked like. This is not a joke, I assure you. A very large brown bear was right over my shoulder, about, you know, maybe where that wall is, that curtain. And can I say to you that I had the opportunity to practice peace in perilous times with my heart pounding out of my chest? I had the immediate opportunity to remind myself that God had not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, 2 Timothy 1:7. As I moved rather quickly from the middle of the river to the far shore, I was thrilled that he decided to stay right there. And when I got far enough away to kind of yell to the guide and my new friends to, you know, not to scream, but just gave them a quick little, hey! And then they all looked up and saw the bear, and then the guide came with the 50 caliber strapped to his chest. It's made me feel a little bit better and assured me that I was gonna be okay. I might have ruined the waders that I was wearing. I'm not totally sure. I paid a fee to rent them. I think I might get a bill to have to purchase them. Peace in perilous times, it's possible. I also learned something else. Jack, I learned that little teeny airplanes, very, very small bush planes, when you're flying through a mountainous rugged pass, that little planes don't just drop out of the sky for no reason. They can go sideways. Sideways was new for me. Sideways was new. I never thought I would say this, but I can tell you now, I feel better about dropping out of the sky than just for no reason shooting sideways. I felt like I needed to stretch back over this direction, grab my tongue, and put it back in my mouth. Happy to be with you all this morning. Peace in perilous times. All right, so this morning, open your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 4, and then just hold your place there. We're going to eventually get to, in just a moment or two, the last teaching in this series that we've been doing, going through the book of Philippians. This morning is part 16. We've entitled this series, Hallelujah Anyway, if you're just joining us. And every several weeks, I've wanted to read to you the definition of what it is to have a hallelujah anyway kind of faith, and I hope we've done a good job of communicating what that is. But as I prepared this morning, I made just some very subtle changes. Ken, I made some very subtle changes because I wanted us this morning not just to read it kind of as a group. I want us to make a declaration of personal faith this morning, all of us. And so I'm going to ask us to real quick to stand on our feet and to make a personal declaration of what it is for our own lives to have a hallelujah anyway kind of faith. And so, hallelujah anyway, with me, would you? Having a faith that no matter what happens in my life, and God's people said. Amen. This morning, I want to talk to you not about peace in perilous times like last week, but I've got three more very quick P words for you. This morning, I want to talk to you about power in perilous times, provision in perilous times, and praise in perilous times. Now, each one of these could be a series on its own, so I'm just going to hit some high points on this. Kind of wrap a bow around this whole series that we've been doing as we read the final passage of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 23. Paul writes from a prison in Rome to the Philippians, and he says to them, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you've done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That just got me right there. This guy's in jail. He's writing his last letter to these Philippians. He knows as he signs off, that's probably it. See you on the other side. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So be it. Power in perilous times. Our first point this morning. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, friends, one of the things with these verses that are very, very popular, and they are profound, there's no question. That's why they are popular. But the issue is we have to understand the context, because we can make bumper stickers out of this. We can make refrigerator magnets. We can make greeting cards out of this. And it can somehow not lose all of its power, but it can become just this isolated thing that loses some of its power because we miss the context in which it's written. And so Paul, when he says this, he's just not giving flowery words or poetic speech. The Apostle Paul, when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, is making a personal declaration of his own testimony. He's not thinking 2,000 years from now they're going to make a greeting card out of this. He's telling the Philippians bold experiential truth that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said in the preceding verse, I know how to be abased. I know how to be completely humbled and humiliated. Because sometimes, in God's sovereignty, that's his plan for your life. And I'm sorry for that, but not really sorry. Because somehow in the humiliating, humbling, abasing process of God, don't we know Jesus better? So Paul says, I know how to be abased. He said, but I also know how to abound. I've learned this, he said. I've learned to have excess. I've learned to have overflow. That's what abounding means. See, learning how to be abased means in the process of being abased, I don't get bitter. But learning how to abound means that I don't forget God in the midst of the blessing. There's something that we have to learn in all of us. And Paul says, I have learned all this. I know how to be abased. I know how to stay faithful to God and not get bitter in humiliating times. I also know how to abound and be blessed and have excess and overflow without forgetting the God of the blessing. I know how to be full, and it is the word gorged. It is to be stuffed full. He said, but I also know how to be hungry, famished, starving. I know how to abound, but I also know how to suffer need to the point of being destitute. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ. I can be blessed. And I can appear to be cursed. And I can continue to be faithful to God in the midst of it all. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Friends, through Christ who strengthens me. I don't want to be misunderstood for a minute that I would ever preach any gospel that is a pull yourself up by your bootstraps gospel. The gospel of Jesus is this, that he will come and give you strength. This isn't about our strength. This isn't about us pulling it off. Paul didn't say, I did this on my own with my own determination. Ricky, he said, I can do all of this through Christ. Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ's strength working in me. I can do all things through him. And so, beloved, if we can do all things through him like Paul did, we're going to have to learn how to position ourselves, yes, in times of being abased, positioning ourselves in desperation, but always with faith and expectancy and not bitterness. No matter how hard we've been knocked down, no matter what challenge we face, in that place, instead of getting bitter, I'm going to find myself in desperation, crying out to God in faith and expectation that he's going to come through. Because he who watches over my life doesn't slumber or sleep. You may think I'm done, but I ain't done. friends, is so important. If you quit trusting and praising God in the midst of your own peril, listen to me, you will never grow in your experience with the power of Christ. If you quit in the midst of your own perilous times, I'm just giving up on God. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to believe him to change my circumstance. I'm not going to believe him to do the miracle of sustaining grace and power. If you quit, you're never going to grow in understanding how rich and awesome and limitless his power is. Paul never quit. He never quit. And Jesus always came through. That second part of this is, as you continue to trust and praise God in the midst of your own peril, you're going to receive a strength to face your current crisis, and then you are going to learn and grow and receive future strength for even greater crises. I remember Pastor Raul Reese, as I was a baby Christian, hearing him say, I've never forgotten these words, 30 years later. I remember a Wednesday night teaching, I was there, and he said, listen to me, friends, with his thick Spanish accent. He said, the things that I'm facing right now in the ministry as a follower of Jesus, he said, they would have killed me when I was a baby Christian. But I have grown in my faith. I have grown in the strength of Christ on my life. And if you never quit, you will continue to grow, so that Christ's grace and power can be poured out on you to endure things you never thought possible, but you can't quit. Paul never quit. That's why he knew he could endure all things, all things. Isn't it amazing how the shortest words have the most attached to it? All three little letters, endless meaning. All, I can do all things. Christ's strength in Paul's perilous life. At some point in this series, I read this list of things to you where Paul kind of talks about what his life consisted of and the peril that surrounded it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28, Paul's comparing himself to false apostles and false believers. And so he compares himself to them and he says, listen, as far as laboring goes for the gospel, I'm more abundant in my labors than those folks. In stripes, meaning whippings that he's received for Christ, above measure. He said, I've been in prisons more frequently and in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That means on Paul's back there were 195 scars. A roadmap of suffering. 5 times, 39 lashes. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been bobbing in the deep, in the ocean, shipwrecked. In journeys often, now here we go, perils. In the perils of waters and perils of robbers and perils of my own countrymen, perils of the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things. Besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Yeah, I think it is imperative that we understand again, friends, the New Testament was written by and for a persecuted minority. It wasn't written to a comfortable majority. We have to understand as we go through life, as perilous times come, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Not because we're comfortable Americans, but because we're spirit-filled followers of Jesus. and his strength, his power, which is greater than he that's in the world, is in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. To believe that, to appropriate that, then means I can do all things through Christ, regardless of the peril that surrounds me. Christ's strength in Paul's weakness. The very next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Paul's talking about the amazing revelation that he got from God. How God spoke to him. How he actually went into the very presence of God in heaven. And Paul says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation that I got. He said, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times, hold on, that it might depart from me. Paul said, y'all need to know something about my life. I've received such unbelievable revelation from God. I've had such unbelievable experience and insight from God. It was in God's sovereignty. It was in his permissive will. Yea, it was his perfect will to assign to me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to beat me, to create peril and pain in my life. So that I wouldn't become arrogant and prideful. Think about that. People go, oh, well, I think that messenger of Satan was just, you know, Paul's had bad eyes and he couldn't really see very good. And we just try to explain it away to simpler, more Western things. Instead of just saying what it says, a messenger of Satan, a demonic spirit was sent. God allowed it to beat me, to buffet me, to cause me pain and problems, lest I should get puffed up, lest I should get arrogant. And then he says, I pleaded with God. Anybody ever pleaded? I pleaded with God three times. You get the sense that, like, you know, there was sincerity in that prayer, wasn't there? Oh, God, please. Could you make this go away? Could you make this stop? No. I can't. I must be tired today. And I can't make that stop, friend. For your benefit, I can't make it stop. Number two. Please, I need a break. I need a reprieve here. Please. I'm sorry, friend, I can't. For your own good. Third time. Oh, God, please. Like, I know that you keep visiting me and giving me strength, and I can't even believe that I'm still even here to ask. But I'm asking a third time. Oh, friend, I love you too much. I can't take that away. And then Jesus. You look in your Bibles, it's printed in red. Then Jesus speaks so personally to him. And he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Grace. Unmerited favor? Sure. Divine enabling? Absolutely. Stu, Jesus says, hey, Paul, my divine enabling, it is sufficient for you. It's enough for you. When you feel like enough is enough, you can't take anymore, Jesus says from heaven, my divine enabling is sufficient for you. You might feel like you're at the end of your rope by yourself, but you need to know I'm right there. Dang. Wow. And then he says, my strength, Jesus said, my strength is made perfect, complete in the midst of your weakness. Jesus said, my strength, when you're at the end of your rope, when you can't take it anymore, when the peril is too much for you, one more minute. You've got fingernails holding onto the end of your rope. There's a valley below you. He says, my strength is complete in your weakness. Because when you thought your fingernails would give out, I gave them supernatural strength to sustain you so that you might know that my weakness, as real as it is overcome by the strength of Jesus in me. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul gets it. And he goes, therefore, what's he gonna do? Look at this. Is the man crazy? Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Boasting in his infirmities? Letting people know how weak he actually is? Paul the apostle, the man of faith and power, boasting in his infirmities so that everyone would know it's the power of Jesus. It's the goodness of God. Paul would say, it's not my own strength. It's not me making a decision to pull myself up by my bootstraps. This is divine enabling that has visited my weakness that allows me to stay faithful to God in the midst of perilous times. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sarah, yeah. I got three women in the front row going, what do I mean? I'm gonna have you pray.
Okay.
Because you can. There were several pivotal moments 6 years ago when we were in the hospital with Josiah. At the top of the list was when Sarah gathered the kids together and said four words. We can do this. We can do this. Beloved, for a mother to rally her family when her son's life on earth is coming to an end, and to gather the family and say, we can do this. Monumental strength. What is she saying? She's saying, I know our Jesus good enough that his strength will be present, not just in weakness, in devastation, brokenness, sadness, unknown previously in our lives, we can do this. If you're here this morning and you or your family needs a "we can do this" moment, you're here this morning, down in the chapel, you're watching online, up in the balcony, I want you right where you're at to stand on your feet, right where you're at. You're having a "we can do this" circumstance. You're in that kind of trial. You're having that moment. I want Mrs. Berger to pray for you.
Father God, I thank you that you are omnipresent, that you know all things, that none of these situations surprise you, not for one moment.
Thank you.
You foresaw them from the beginning of the world's foundations. I thank you, Lord God, that you've already seen to provision, providing strength through you, Holy Spirit, providing vision and courage and your word, your sure word, to feed every one of us that are going through these trials. I'd pray, Holy Spirit, that everyone here would seek your face.
Yes, oh God.
Would bow their knee, would not be lazy or apathetic to what you have to offer in this moment of great trial, of peril, Lord God. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, that you provide courage beyond measure. We thank you that it's available.
Thank you.
We thank you that your power
and
your grace and your joy is available in the midst of great, devastating sorrow and scary, scary times.
Yeah.
We thank you that you're Jehovah Jireh,
that
you provide manna from heaven,
that
the world could never provide, that you are worthy of worship and praise, because this altogether is not our home, and that you will see to strengthening all of us until we step over to the other side, where all things will be made well.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name and for your glory, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We can do this. I've got 2 points left. With really not adequate time, and I'm just wondering if they wouldn't take away from this moment right now, actually. So I'll just forget what we've got going, and let me just try to do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 19, my God, Sarah said, shall supply all your needs. All your needs. There's that word "all" again, all your needs. Needs of strength and weakness, for sure. But all means all. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He's really rich. He's really rich. His riches in glory are unsurpassed. He will provide all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whatever your need might be today, He'll supply. He'll provide. Even in perilous times. And then finally in verse 20, Paul says, "Now to our God and Father, glory forever and ever. Amen." Now to our God and our Father, our Abba, glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, friends, when we see forever and ever, we automatically, I think, in our mind, leap to somewhere out in the unknown stratosphere and just think about eternity. And that's right. But when you say glory forever and ever, it's just not about length of time. It's about the minute, immediate. It's forever and ever. It means even right now. Not just Mary, not just way into the future. Glory to God forever and ever. It means glory to God right now. It means hallelujah anyway, even though I'm writing you this letter from a Roman prison and I am expecting that I am going to be beheaded for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now to our God and our Father, glory. Praise is what it means. Honor, worship, dignity, forever and ever. Because circumstances don't define me or my God. He has the final word over me. And it's you win. It's you win. So glory to God forever and ever. Hallelujah anyway. I am going to continue to trust and praise God no matter what comes in my life. Knowing that God and no circumstance has the final word over me. Anyway, always. And so, Father, as we, it seems that we're being catapulted into times that are uncertain and indeed perilous. May you do such a work of grace and maturity in us that we would have a hallelujah anyway faith. And in the midst of circumstances that might crush lesser people, may our benediction, may our final words be, "I can do all things through Christ. God will provide all of my needs. And now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever." If you could do that work, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, may it be so over all of our lives. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, hallelujah anyway. Hallelujah. Ken, come on, come here. I wasn't paying attention when Sarah prayed, but did you stand a minute ago, I guess? Do you mind me doing this right now? You know, Debbie Selby stood right here 1 year ago with the cancer report, and now a year later, cancer-free and doing awesome. So my friend Ken here just got word that he's got cancer, but it shall bow the knee to the name of Jesus. And so we're going to trust that, but we want to pray that over you right now. Is there anybody else who stood maybe who has sickness, specifically sickness in your body this morning? Anybody that's here? That's a reason why you stood? Okay. Would y'all stretch your hand toward our friend Ken and let's believe. Mark, come join me, would you? Come on. Paul, come on, join me, would you? Ricky, come and join us. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, as the body of Christ, as elders and leaders in this church, we lay our hands on our brother and our friend, and we thank you for his life. But Lord, most importantly, we're thankful for the grace of Jesus that rests upon him. We're grateful for the faith that lives in his heart. We're grateful for the promises of God. And so, Lord, your word says, if there be any sick among you, let him come and have the elders of the church anoint him with oil and pray the prayer of faith over him, and that the Lord would heal him, and that if he's committed any sins, he would be forgiven as well. And so, Father, out of obedience to your word, God, we want to pray over and anoint Ken in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust you to heal his physical body from the top of his head even unto the soles of his feet, all the way through. We pray that cancer would bow the knee to the name of Jesus, that it would shrivel up and die in the name of Jesus, and that life, health, wholeness would flow from heaven on earth as in heaven. May your kingdom come. May your kingdom come with future power and glory and deliver us even right now in our earthly weakness and frailty and sickness. May cancer die in Jesus' name, and may life, health, and wholeness come in Jesus' name. Father, we believe you for it. So much so, we're going to thank you in advance. That who knows? Maybe 1 year from now, maybe 6 months, who knows? We're going to stand and say, look at what the Lord hath done. Heal our friend, we pray, O God, and keep him in perfect peace as he keeps his mind stayed on you. Bless his precious family and wife. We commit him into your hands with great faith and trust. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen, church. Amen. Can we tell the Lord thank you one more time for being good to us today? Yeah. Well, God bless and keep you all. There's a fairly large group of us that leave for Israel over the next couple days, kind of staggered, and so we'd ask that you would keep us in your prayers. We look forward to having a great time, and we look forward to you coming to Israel with us maybe on the next trip. So, may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ rest upon you and yours. May you go in the might, the marvelous might of Jesus, and make him famous. May you walk worthy of your calling. Be a life changer in Jesus' name. May the kingdom of God be big in you and through you. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.